You are listening to the audio preaching podcast from North Valley Baptist Church in Santa Clara, California, led by Pastor Jack Treiber. Though located in the heart of the Silicon Valley, you will hear fervent, old-fashioned revival preaching from the pulpit of North Valley Baptist Church. It is our desire that you will be helped by this gospel message.
Galatians in chapter number 6, we're finishing the book tonight. We've been working on it all this year and part of last year, so I'm looking forward to finishing off the book tonight. Great crowd here tonight. Are you all wide awake? I'm going to ask you to try to stay awake for the next 2.5 hours, and in 2.5 hours we'll be on the way home. I'm becoming a short preacher. Have you noticed that? My wife knows. She goes, "You're getting done too early." So for her behalf, I'll preach a little longer tonight. I won't preach long, but there is a text before us tonight that'll be a blessing. Wednesday, don't ever feel sorry for me on Wednesday. I love everything I do. I love your kids, your elementary kids are so incredible. And the high school kids and the college students, and It's a wonderful joy to serve the King. And I love Wednesday night. And up in the balcony, folks that are there, and down below, and all the children's program. Be sure to thank the children, the workers tonight when you pick up your kids. And be very sensitive. We have more kids saved on Wednesday night than any other night of the week. I've told our workers, try not to lead your kids to Christ. It's different with the bus kids. Brother Simmons had 23 bus teenagers and bus kids saved on Sunday. That's a different situation. We've got to get them. But with your kids, I like it if you can point them to salvation. And so maybe if the worker will say tonight, it seems like God's working on your child's heart. Seems like he's raising his hand so often for scripture, for salvation. Just pray that God will give you wisdom. And Wednesday night is the largest night of the week that we have more people saved on Wednesday night than the other night. I'm so delighted you're here. Let's bow for prayer, please. Our Father, I thank you for the scripture that's before us in chapter 6 of Galatians. And I pray that we would open our eyes to the truth of your word as we go in verse by verse and finishing this book tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. Chapter 6, verse 11. Let's read verse 11. Just verse 11. Ready? Begin. Ye see how the Apostle Paul was talking about, he wrote this large letter. It's not a large letter. It's only 6 chapters. That's not what he's talking about. He says the print, his ABCs were very large. The Apostle Paul apparently, history bears out, he was only 4'10", wrote most of the New Testament. But Apostle Paul, history tells us, had an eye problem. And that eye problem was constantly running. Turn back with me, if you will, to chapter number 4. Chapter 4, verse number 14. And my temptation, which was in my flesh, he despised not, nor rejected, but received me as an angel of God, even as Jesus, Christ Jesus. Verse 15. Where then is the blessedness that you spake of? You said so many good things about me. Where's this blessedness? But I forbear you record that if it had been possible, you would have plucked out your own eyes and given them to me. He said, my eyes were running, my eyes have problems. And if you could have, when I first you wanted Christ, you would have plucked your eyes out. These Jews were all messed up because these Judaizers came and said, you have to obey the law to get saved. You have to have circumcision. You have to obey the law to be saved. And Paul says that's not the case, but you would have plucked your eyes out. Go back with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 12. 2 Corinthians 12. Verse number 7 talks about this thorn in the flesh. And lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelation, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh. It had to be these runny eyes. For the Bible says, for this thing besought I the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me. And I don't know, honey, if I've ever said this in church in 20 years. But about 40 years ago, Brother Bill Shilton knows the exact day. It was the day Ronald Reagan was shot. When was that, Brother Shilton? Yes, sir.
January 26th of '86.
I was walking at the old property over there, where I was over there today, and I felt something really painful in my heel. You know, from that moment on, I've had four different types. I've never said this before, but it doesn't matter now, I'm so old. Four different types of arthritis. And it's always painful, and it's 24 hours a day, and that's the most I've ever said about it. It's every day it's painful, every night when I'm up. I was up last night at midnight walking around the house. It's just painful. And I don't talk about it because I don't believe in talking about it. But God gave me a thorn in the flesh. I asked God three times, Brother Jose, to remove it. And God never removed it. Now, why? Because here's what the Bible says. He said, my grace is sufficient for thee. And my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I glory in mine infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. We're having Carol Tudor here on Sunday, and Brother Eliud has canceled choir, but not on March the 1st. That's Saturday. And he's canceled choir. Brother Martinez has canceled the Sunday evening school. And Carol's going to speak to us about our health. She has worked the last many years with RFK, now the Health and Human Services, and director. And you may not agree with her. She's a holistic doctor. But I want our people to be so healthy. We're living in a day of pestilence. And it used to be that if your children would get sick one day a year, it'd be amazing. Your children are sick all the time. And you're sick all the time. And I'm not saying you're wrong. I just believe in the last days, God, the devil's going to send pestilence. And your kids are not faking, and you're not faking, and this stomach flu that's going around. They say, oh, is there a stomach flu? I just told you there is. So there is. Now you've got it. But it hangs around for 3, 4, 5 weeks, and then it goes away, and then it comes back. Hey, it's great. But Paul said, I have this thorn in the flesh, these eyes. That's why I go back to Galatians chapter 6. He says, I'm writing a large letter to you. I written it like he did the book of Corinthians, chapter 16 of Corinthians, with my own hand. And he said, you see how large a letter I've written to you with my own hand. God may give you a thorn in the flesh. What's the reason for the thorn in the flesh? Because you're a bad person? Because God wants to get even with you? No, your thorn in the flesh can be for the praise of his glory. God, he just played it, never moves without purpose or plan when molding his servants and trying a man. Gives thanks to the Lord, though your testing seems long. In darkness, he giveth a song. Patch the Pirate, who was younger than me, who went home to be with the Lord this last year, wrote that. He wrote that after he was in our church years ago. He was here with both eyes. And he said, soon, in a couple weeks, I'm going to the hospital. And if it's cancer in my eye, they're going to remove that eye. He had both eyes that day. And they removed his eye. And he wore the rest of his life a patch. But look what he gave us. He gave us that song. Yeah. Oh, rejoice in the Lord. He makes no mistakes. He knoweth the end of each path that I take. For when I am tried and purified, I shall come forth as gold. And he gave us all obedience is the very best way. Then your kids sing it. Responsibility is the way, little by little, inch by. He gave us all those songs, hundreds of songs, after he lost his eye. He said, as a boy, he said, I'd walk around with a patch because I always wanted to be a pirate. And so he used his infirmity, Patch the Pirate. I was preaching in North Carolina a few weeks ago for our friend, Daryl Cox. Daryl Cox pastors in Moxville, North Carolina. Moxville is about 3,500 people in the town. It's a small little town. And Brother Cox has been there 40 years. He's got a large church. It's a large church, but he still runs a bus route. He goes bus calling every Saturday. He runs the bus on Sunday. He brings them in. He's a famous preacher. He's preaching all over America. Every week he's preaching somewhere. Brother Cox is younger than I am. He's preached here. You've heard him. He's a great man. He is a great man. Brother Cox is a healthy man, but he had a heart attack. And then he had a stroke. The stroke has left him blind, completely blind in one eye. He has diabetes. The doctor said, and I believe it was today he began his shots in this eye because this eye is fading. You know, you'd never know it when he preached he was suffering. He's such a good man. It seems like the men and women that God's going to use the most are all given infirmity, that the power of God may rest upon their life. Look what the Bible says. I've written to you a large letter as I've written unto you with my own hand. And as many, watch this, as many as desire to make a fair show in the flesh. A fair show. These were braggarts. These false teachers were rallying people to them. And the church all turned on Paul. The Apostle Paul loved them, and they all turned on the Apostle Paul. And he said, have I become your enemy that I tell you the truth? Well, God forbid, but they turned on him. He won them to Christ, and they turned on him. How could that be? And then these braggarts come in. The Bible says that they're going to make a show in the flesh. They're going to get you to believe in circumcision and the law and keeping the commandments of God for salvation. And what you say, a desire to make a show in the flesh, they constrain you. Constrain is that word. It's a Greek word, which means strong persuasion. Pastor Scott back here, you've seen that in the ministry. You've lived long enough. You've pastored churches. You've seen people come into an assembly and bring their false doctrines. And you've seen it with deacons. You've seen it with members of the church. And they get all tied up into this false doctrine because these people make a show of you and they put constraint on you, put force on you, and you can't stand up against them. And that's what he's talking about. You can't stand up against them. You know, you're going to have to stand against some things, folks. Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Stand up for Jesus, ye soldiers of the Christ, of the cross. And they constrain you to be circumcised. Only rest that ye should suffer persecution for the cross of Christ. I'm going to read verse 13, but that I'm going to continue with that cross of Christ, and we'll close her off. Verse 13, for neither they, these false teachers, themselves who are circumcised keep the law, but desire to you to be circumcised, that you may glory in your flesh. He's saying they expect you to do what they're not going to do themselves. If you're a Sunday school teacher, if you're the pastor of the church, don't stand up here and give all the rules and all the regulations and all these things that you must do, and then don't do it yourself. That's hypocritical. And that's what they were doing. They were enforcing laws and responsibility on these Galatian saints, and they did it because they just thought this was the thing to do. It's never right to mothers and dads, preach to your children. I don't want to have you kids ever smoking. And you smoke. Never right to be drinking. And you do the same. It's never right to do drugs and you tell them, don't do drugs. Don't want any drugs in this house. and you're doing them. It's not right to play with God and here you're, I'm speaking to the choir on Wednesday night, but we ought to be in God's house, Sunday school, Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday. Well, then be there. Amen. Be in God's house. And God said, if you're going to preach it, then live it. And the Bible goes on to say, back to that cross of Christ, verse 12, verse 14, God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, whom the Lord, the world crucified unto me. Jesus Christ. Go back to chapter 1, please. Chapter 1, verse 1. Paul, an apostle, not of man, neither by men, but by Jesus, what? Jesus Christ. Verse 3. Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord. What's verse 3 say? Jesus Christ. Look what he says in verse number 10. For do I now persuade men or God? Do I seek to please men or do I please men? If I yet please men, I should not be the servant of Christ. Verse 12. Neither I received it of man, neither have I taught it, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ. Verse 22, I was unknown in the face of the churches of Judea, which are in Christ. Do you know in these six chapters, he mentions Jesus Christ 45 times. In six chapters, Mary, that's a lot. Because Christ was his life. You know, Paul was saying what he said in Colossians, that in all things he might have the preeminence. And he's coming to these Judaizers, and he's coming to these folks that were being persuaded by these forceful people, these false teachers that had force and power. He said, I want to tell you something. It's all of Jesus Christ. Christ for me. Yes, it's Christ for me. He's my Savior, my Lord and King. I'm so happy, I shout and sing, Christ for me. In my prayer journal that I have every day as I look at that, I have in my prayer journal my purpose. My page one is all my purpose. You've heard it so much you can say it. It's Christ. And I sing Christ for me often. It's Christ. Christ for me, and it's Cindy, my companion, and it's our children and grandchildren, and it's our church, and it's this college, and it's this city, and then it's this county, and then it's the state of California, thank God it's a C, and then it's my co-laborers that serve God. That's my life. That's my tenfold purpose every day of my life. But first is Christ. Not to be a good husband. I need to be a good Christian first. I need to be a man of God. A man that loves God. If I'm a man of God, if I walk with God, I'll be a good husband. If I'm a man of God, I'll be a good dad, a good father-in-law, a good grandfather 14 times. But if I'm not a man of God, it all's to naught. Look what the Bible says in chapter. So Christ is preeminent. And so verse 15, for if Christ Jesus, neither circumcision availeth anything or uncircumcision, but a new creation. And as many as walk according to this rule, peace be upon them and mercy upon the Israel of God. He said, I want to tell you something. It's not the law. It's not circumcision. It's all of Christ. Because if any man, 2 Corinthians 5:17, be in Christ, he's a new creation, a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. You see, the New Testament's all about not the law. Christ is the end of the law, the Bible says. He fulfilled the law. He didn't abolish it. He fulfilled it. And salvation is through grace and faith in Jesus Christ alone. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Not by works of righteousness, which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us. By the washing of regeneration, the renewing of the Holy Ghost, we're saved by faith in trust in Jesus Christ. And so he says, listen, it's all of Christ. So verse 17, and we're getting close to the end. From henceforth, let no man trouble me. From this day forward, don't talk to me about the law. Don't talk to me about circumcision. From this day, let no man trouble me. Watch it. For I bear in my body the marks of our Lord Jesus. The mark was not circumcision. It's that he was a Christian. What marks did Paul have? Thrice was I a shipwreck. I was stoned. I was taken out of the town. I was left for dead. And his body was bruised and battered and beaten. And he said, I bear my body. My body has been for God. And verse 17, we're done. Brethren, the grace, and he comes back to grace again. He'll give new grace. We sang about it, Brother Martinez, tonight. Wonderful grace of Jesus. Brethren, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. There's number 45. Be with you, your spirit. Amen. Thank God for the Bible. Thank God for Jesus. Make much of him.
Thank you for listening to the audio preaching podcast from North Valley Baptist Church in Santa Clara, California, led by Pastor Jack Treiber. For more information about our ministry or to find out how to get in contact with us, visit our website at nvbc.org. May God bless you as you serve him this week.